This is Dr. Benny Tate, and you're listening to the Leads Club podcast, all about leadership, personal growth, and encouraging you in your walk with God. Our goal is simple, to help you lead like you never have before in your church, business, home, or whatever platform God has given you. Our next Lead Club session begins now. Well, blessings to you, and I want to take this opportunity to welcome you to this edition of our Leads Club. Basically, it's a club where I just try to pour into pastors, Christian leaders, Christian businessmen, businesswomen. I just try to pour into leaders to help them to get to the next level. And I'm real excited about this lesson. I'm excited about this lesson because this involves something that leaders do every day and leaders will be doing for the rest of their lives. So I've entitled this lesson, Your Decisions Determine Your Destiny. Your decisions determine your destiny. You're where you are today because of decisions you've made in the past. And what I realize about leading people, you have some small decisions, but many times as a leader, it's the difficult, tough decisions that you have to make. Somebody said if you're in an organization and there's an easy, simple decision, somebody else will make that decision before it gets to the leader. And I agree with that because the leader has to make tough decisions. I remember 28 years ago, I made the decision to leave my home. I made a decision to leave my family. I made a decision to leave the church that ran somewhere between 250 and 300 people to come to Georgia and take a church that ran 30 people. It was a difficult decision. It was a difficult decision to leave my church. It was a difficult decision to leave my family. It was a difficult decision to leave everything that was familiar and comfortable to me to come to a place where I knew not anyone. But I made that decision. 28 years later, I look back and I'm grateful for that decision. Because I think that decision of coming to 30 people has impacted thousands and thousands and thousands of people's lives. We've been able to start ministries, whether it be Rock Springs Medical Clinic or the Potter's House or Rock Springs Christian Academy or Melba's Manor Maternity Home. We've been able to start a lot of things, impact Christian ministries that feeds, clothes, and houses homeless people every day. And we would not have been able to do that had I had not made the decision to come. When we came, we also here in Georgia adopted our daughter, Savannah Abigail. She was born here in Georgia, and she's been so much joy to our lives. It would not have happened had we not made that decision to come and pastor Rock Springs Church. Decisions are so important because decisions determine your destiny. There were two friends by the name of Walter and Arthur. They were dear friends. And one day Walter said to Arthur, I want you to take a trip with me. And they got in the car and they drove out into the country. And Walter said to Arthur, he said, Arthur, I want to develop this land. He said, I see in this wasteland, this barren land, I see convention centers, I see hotels, I see restaurants. What do you see, Arthur? Arthur said, I don't see anything. I see nothing but barren wasteland. There's no way there are going to be hotels out here. Why would people drive 25 miles to come out here? Why would anybody come out here, Walter? And Walter said, but Arthur, don't you want to invest some money? I see things out here. And Arthur said, I'm in no way interested. Years passed, and Art Linkletter said, I wish I had told Walt Disney yes. I wish I had told Walt Disney yes. But I made a decision. And here's what I want you to understand. As leaders, as men and women who lead organizations, your decisions will not only affect your destiny, but I want you to know, your decisions will affect many other people's destiny Because a leader's life doesn't just affect them. It affects tons of other people. So I want to talk to you about your decisions determine your destiny. Now, there's three things I want you to see. The first thing I want you to see is the danger of indecision. The danger of indecision. Ronald Reagan used to tell the story that his aunt took him to the cobbler to make Ronald a pair of shoes when he was a little boy. And the cobbler said, "Do you want square toes or round toes on your shoes?" And Ronald said, "I'm not for sure." And he said, "Well, let me know." And so the cobbler a few days later saw Ronald and said, "Do you want round toes or square toes?" And Ronald said, "Let me get back with you." A few days later, the same conversation. And finally one day, Ronald said he saw the cobbler. And the cobbler said to him, "Ronnie, you can come and pick up your shoes." And Ronald said, "I came and picked up my shoes." And he said, "What I noticed was one of the toes was round and one of the toes was square." And Ronald said, "I learned a valuable lesson. If you stay in indecision, it's the worst place to be." See, I know they're good decisions. I know they're bad decisions. But I truly believe the worst place you can be is in indecision. And the reason why I say this is because when you stay in indecision in your organization, in your life, it changes nothing. See, even if you make a decision that's not the best decision, here's what I've learned. Many times making a decision will lead you to the right decision. But if you stay in indecision, nothing happens and nothing changes. There was a gentleman in our area that's leading an organization. He's elected by the people. But every time a position came available in his organization, he wouldn't make a decision. He wouldn't make the tough call. So if a position became available in his organization, rather than choosing between the three people who had applied, he would make no decision and leave the position vacant. You said, "Brother Benny, what happened to that individual?" He got voted out of office because he wasn't a leader. Because leaders understand you can't stay in the place of indecision. You can't aim. Sometimes you have to pull the trigger. Now, I'm not saying pull the trigger without aiming, but I am saying after you've aimed, you must pull the trigger. Now, why do people stay in the place of indecision? Let me tell you why I truly believe that people stay in the place of indecision. First of all, we try to make the perfect decision. We try to make the perfect decision. And I want to say the only perfect decision I truly believe is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's a perfect decision. But other than that, there's not really a perfect decision. And when I'm talking about a perfect decision, I'm talking about where it's 100% perfect. Recently, I was praying about a situation, and I told the Lord, I said, "God, I cannot get 100% sure on my decision." And sometimes, folks, you just won't be 100% sure on your decision. But that doesn't mean you should not make a decision. And I picked up a book by Andy Stanley. And Andy Stanley said these words. He said, "If you're 80% sure, it's the right decision." And Andy Stanley said, "You're never going to be any more than 80% sure." I received that as confirmation from the Lord, and I made a decision, and I made the proper, right decision. But see, many times we stay in the place of indecision because we want the perfect decision. Well, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11 and 14, He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. If you wait for the conditions to just be perfect to make the decision, you'll never make the decision. Let me tell you the second reason why we stay in the place of indecision is we lack the courage to make the decision. See, this is what I know about people. Most of the time, we know what the right decision is. Most of us know the decision that we need to make. Many of you are listening to this recording right now, and there are decisions in your church that you know you need to make. Unequivocally. There's ministries many times that you know you need to axe. See, let me share something with you. Everything that begins, that was birthed, also has an expiration date. And many times their ministries in our churches, they're no longer effective. Oh, we've put a different saddle on the horse. We've tried different things. But reality, you need to just bury the horse. But we don't have the courage to do that. You say, well, how do you know if I should be having a certain ministry in my church? Well, here's what I'd say to you. If you were starting the church fresh, ground up today, would you have that ministry? Would you start that ministry? You say, well, there is no way I'd start this ministry or that ministry. That's a good indicator. You probably need to axe that ministry. See, many times we know what to do. We just don't have the courage to make the decision. My dear friend Sam Chan, he's a church consultant, and he travels all over America just consulting the largest mega churches in America. And he said, every campus I go to, I know unequivocally there's somebody on the staff, many times multiple people, that need to be fired. But the leader doesn't have the courage to make the decision. The danger of indecision. Now I want to talk to you about how to avoid bad decisions. How to avoid bad decisions. Number one, never make a decision without looking at all possible outcomes. Never make a decision without looking at all possible outcomes. Thomas Jefferson said, if you give people the right information, they'll make the right decision. Look with the end in mind. Proverbs 21:5 says, the thoughts of a diligent tend only to plenteous, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Never make a decision without looking at all possible outcomes. I remember being a young preacher. I was probably 20 years old. And Barbara and I went to J.C. Penney's. And there was a suit. It was $99. Up to that time, I'll just be honest with you, we were buying my suits at yard sales. And I'd go and pay $5 or $10 at a yard sale, and I'd get a suit to preach in. But the suit was $99. And it was so nice, and I said, I'd like to have it. And Barbara said, yes, but we don't have the money. And then a lady that worked at J.C. Penney said, but you can get a charge card. And we got a charge card. And I said, how much is it going to cost? And they said, only $13 a month. Well, see, that $99 suit end up costing $500 at $13 a month. Because what I didn't do, I didn't look at all possible outcomes. And what I'd say to you, when making the decision, look at all possible outcomes. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Number two, how to avoid bad decisions is never make a big decision in a low time. Never make a big decision in a low time. Counselors will tell you, if you've lost a mate, make no major decisions for 1 year. Counselors will tell you, if a person's depressed, never make a major decision during that time period. Because see, what you've got to understand, if you're in a low time, you're in the valley, and all you see is mountains. All you see is walls. And so what I would say to you is never make a big decision in a low time. The third thing I'd say to you is never listen to the wrong people. Never listen to the wrong people. This is so important. The voices you listen to will determine the choices you make. The voices you listen to will determine the choices you make. The scripture says, he that walketh with wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Never listen to the wrong people. You know, if I was studying marriage and I wanted somebody to help me, I wouldn't find somebody that had been married so many times they had rice markings on their faces. I'd find that person who'd had a long, successful marriage. And that's who I would study from. You know, I'm often asked, Pastor Benny, who's your mentor? Friend, there's nobody good enough to mentor you in every area of your life. You don't need a mentor, you need mentors. Because people have different strength zones. Never listen to the wrong people. Here's what I, in my own personal life, many times when I'm praying about something, I don't want a lot of people to know about it. Because here's what I've learned. If I'm praying about a decision and a lot of people know about it, it's so easy to hear all those voices that I don't hear the voice of God. See, when we're really needing direction, many times we go to the phone when we need to go to the throne. We need to hear the voice of God. Now, this is a part I wanted to get to. How do you make good decisions? How do you make good decisions? Well, there's some things I want you to see. First of all, if you're going to make good decisions, and by the way, folks, I've often been asked, how do you make good hires? How do you hire the right staff? And Pastor Benny, you always look for character, and you always look for competency, and you always look for chemistry, and you always look for consistency. I know you go through those four C's. But how do you hire good people? This is a little funny, but the way you get good at hiring good people is you hire some bad people along the way. And I want you to know, I've made some bad hires. And so it's from the bad decisions, I truly believe, that we probably learn to make good decisions. See, it's not bad to fall down, but it is bad to fall down when we don't pick up something. So how do you make good decisions? Well, number one, you got to ask yourself some things. You got to ask yourself, first of all, what is the outcome you want? What is the outcome? As you're looking at the decision, you know, what is the outcome you want? Many times when I'm preparing a message, I ask myself two questions. Number one, I ask myself about my content. I want to make sure the content, I want to make sure it's rounded. I want to make sure it has a healthy amount of the Word of God, because it's only the Word of God that's going to change people's lives. But what is my content? But what is my intent? So, well, I've got 14 intentions from the message. No, you can't have 14 intentions from the message. It won't be effective. But what is my intent? And you've got to ask yourself that question. What do I really want from this decision? Susie Welch, the wife of Jack Welch, headed up GE, the great leader, for many years, wrote a book. And here was the title of the book that Susie Welch wrote. It's 10-10-10. And it's about decision making. And this is what Susie Welch said. She said, when you're faced with a decision, you need to ask yourself, how will I feel about this decision 10 minutes from now? And she said, then ask yourself the question, how will I feel about this decision 10 months from now? And then you ask yourself this question: how will I feel about this decision 10 years from now? That's good. The second step to making good decisions is, I would say to you, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Because God's will will never contradict His Word. God's will will never contradict His Word. What does the Bible say? You know what's so amazing? In a few days, I am going to be traveling to Oklahoma. I'm excited about going to Oklahoma, but one of the reasons why I'm excited about going to Oklahoma, I'm going to be meeting with David Green while I'm in Oklahoma. He's the founder of Hobby Lobby, the man who started Hobby Lobby. We're all familiar with that. My wife has helped to make him successful. And I look forward to learning from David Green and asking him questions and learn from this great Christian entrepreneur businessman. But can I tell you something? You have an opportunity every day to spend time with somebody far more successful than David Green. Each day in my life, I read the proverb of the day. I have an opportunity every day to hang out with Solomon, the richest man who ever lived. And when you're faced with decisions, our greatest resource is the Bible. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. So how do you make good decisions? What's the outcome you want? What does the Bible say? Number three, is this the right time? Is this the right time? You know, the only difference between salad and trash is timing. I love this quote by John Maxwell. John Maxwell said, The wrong decision at the wrong time is disaster. The right decision at the wrong time is resistance. The right decision at the right time is success. Is the timing right? Recently, we had something in our church board. And basically, our church board was making a decision. And in the meeting, this is very recent, they were split. And I said to our church board, I don't think we need to do anything. We're separated as a board. We're split. Let's just wait. We waited about 45 days. The board unified. And we're in total agreement with the decision they made. So what was the difference? The timing wasn't right 45 days before. As leaders, I'd say, if the timing's not right, pull it back. If the timing's not right, don't push it through. I will promise you, the right decision at the right time will be successful. Number four. Do I have peace about the decision? Do I have peace about the decision? Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule in Colossians 3:15 literally means umpire. Umpire. And if you know anything about sports, the umpire makes the decision. You're safe. The umpire makes the decision. You're out. Umpire. That's what the umpire does. And what the scripture's saying is, let the peace of God be the umpire. Let the peace of God be the decision maker. When I've sat down with men and women that were praying about a decision, maybe a position, I always take them through the acrostic peace. I say to them, P stands for providential. When you're faced with a decision, was it providential? Did God open this door or did you open this door? Did God open this door or did you open this door? And I often say to people, if God closes the door, don't try to crawl through the window. If God closes the door, He's just got a better door. But that P stands for providential. And then the E stands for enemy. What would the enemy want? What would the enemy want? I want to do right the opposite of what the enemy would want. Is this position going to be detrimental to my family? Is this position going to be negative to my relations with my mate or my relations with my children? What does the enemy want? And I want to do right the opposite. The A stands for authority. What does the Bible say about it? Let's let the Bible be the authority. C stands for confidence. Do I feel like that my giftedness leads me in the way of this decision? Does my natural talents and giftedness lead me as I move toward it? Am I confident that I have the abilities to do it? And E stands for ease. E-A-S-E. As I move toward this position, do I have an ease in my spirit? As I move toward this job or position or whatever, do I have an ease in my heart? The question you've got to ask yourself is, do I have peace about the decision? And then number five, what do my godly friends say about the decision? Proverbs 11 and 14 says, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. What do my godly friends say about this decision? Let me say this. Your number one counselor, if you're married, ought to be your mate. I say to men, when you don't listen to your wife, you miss 50% of what God's saying to you. Listen to those around you, those counselors. And this is what I would say to you. When you're faced with a decision, those spiritual people in your life that we all need, certainly run it by them. But I've learned this. If you will get your counselors together, all together, and share the decision, I think they'll be more transparent with you. Because many times it gives them the courage to say what they really believe. When you meet with them one-on-one, what I find that many times happens is you're able to sell them one at a time. So there's a question you need to ask. What do my godly friends say about this decision? Now, let me give you a couple things and we'll end this lesson. One thing I would say to you, be slower in making important decisions. Be slower in making important decisions. I've learned if it's a big decision and I can't possibly take time to really process it, really pray through it. I recently hired someone and I prayed about the decision for 1 year. You said, well, it's a long time. Well, that's okay. It's okay. I prayed about the decision for a long time. I really sought God. I love what President Dwight Eisenhower said. I mean, the guy that headed up the D-Day invasion, 34th President of the United States. He said, we often confuse the urgent with the important and the important with the urgent. Be slow in making important decisions. And then here's the second thing I'd say to you as we wrap this lesson up. Sometimes it's only after you make a decision that you know it's the right decision. Sometimes it's only after you make a decision that you know it's the right decision. This is what I know. As men and women that are leaders, decision-making is so important. And decision-making is something you're going to have to do every day as long as you're leading. And remember, the decisions you make will determine your destiny. But not only will they determine your destiny, they will determine the destinies of many, many other people. Let me pray for you. God, as we bow our heads in your presence, I thank you for everyone listening to this recording. I pray, Lord, that you would cement the principles to their hearts. I pray, God, that you would be with the men and women as they lead their organizations to make the decisions that would be prudent, that would make the decisions that would be pleasing unto you. God, we ask your strength. I ask for your encouragement. I ask for your blessings upon the leaders. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for today's Leeds Club session. We hope you feel encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information or resources about leadership, be sure and check out our website at rockspringsonline.com/leadership. Join us next time for more insights on leadership, personal growth, and encouragement. As you walk with God, we want to help you get to the next level.